Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of mistakes found in a Sefer Torah. This is Simon Chav Dada, the 24th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at two basic concepts. Concept number one is what mistakes constitute a problem, and number two, what to do if a mistake is actually found. So those are the two concepts we're looking at. I'm going to break it down into a few questions for each. So let's start at the very top. We're going to look at 14 questions on the first concept, and that is what mistakes are a problem in a Sefer Torah. Just to remember something which is really important over here, and that is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Gansri wrote many svarim. One of those works is called Keses HaSofer, which is a work in halacha about writing a Sefer Torah. It's written for Sofrim, for scribes who would write a Sefer Torah. So he wrote an entire book on this topic. So again, we're in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're looking at what we'll call the consumer end of halacha, which means to say the halacha which is most applicable to daily life. But understand that he wrote an entire book just on what we're learning today. There's an incredible amount of material on this. This is really a significant area in halacha. We're going to look at it very briefly, just so we have a basic practical sense of how to deal with this. So let's jump straight in. What mistakes are a problem? So Torah, of course, is a parchment which is made from animal hide, which is written with on ink on it, and therefore it is organic material which gets frail over time. Ink cracks, parchment rips, and also it is also written by human beings, and human beings, as much as they check themselves, make mistakes. So we can look at some of the errors that could happen and the ones that are consequential. So question number one is, what if I find an extra letter or a missing letter in the Sefer Torah? So it depends. If the change is a change which changes the pronunciation, even though it does not change the meaning, that is a problem. So for instance, if instead of the word migrashehen, these are the areas around the city, it says migrashei hem, with a mem at the end, does not change the meaning, but it changes the hem to a hem. That would be a problem. Similarly, if it says, like in Parshas Toldos, v'nei somim bevitna, and instead it says se'omim, it has an aleph in it, it still means twins, like it says when Tamar has twins later on. But nonetheless, because it changes the way it sounds, that would be a problem. What happens if it's the opposite way around? What happens if the meaning remains the same, but the way it's written is actually different? So that would mean to say, let's say, for instance, in Parshas Truma, where it says Amo v'chetzi rochbo, it is a Amo and a half, which is width, 1.5 cubits of width. But instead of saying rochbo with resh chof beis vav, it's written rochbo resh chof beis hey. Even though you can pronounce that rochboy, you could pronounce that correctly, but being as it is written differently, even though it sounds the same, that would also be a problem. So again, if the pronunciation changes even though the meaning doesn't, or if the way it is written changes even though the pronunciation doesn't, then that is a problem. But if it does not change the pronunciation and it does not change the written meaning, then it is fine. So you say, wait a second, how is that possible? How can you have a missing or added letter which does not change pronunciation or meaning of the written form? So the answer is very simple, a concept called male or chaser. That means to say that there are certain liquidos, which are the vowels in the Hebrew alphabet, which sometimes include a vav and a yud, and sometimes do not. So for instance, the cholam can be a cholam as a dot above the left-hand corner of the letter, or it could be a dot above a vav, which is an extra vav. A chirik could be a dot underneath a word, which makes the E sound, but it could also be a dot with a yud afterwards, and those, that vav and that yud, are not considered part of the actual word. It's part of the nakuda of the vowelization. If one of those is missing, or one of those is added, then, for instance, it says the word avoisam, their fathers, there's a vav between the beis and the taf, avoisam. If that is missing, or it is added when it wasn't there, that is not going to invalidate a Sefer Torah. There are many different Masoras about this. It is fascinating to take a look at the different, the differences are very, very minimal, in fact. Even the Gemara says that we're not Bekiyim b'chaseres v'yaseres, which is we're not so clear about which of these letters are consequential or are missing or not missing in the yuds and the vavs. But nonetheless, there are very few in the Sefer Torah that are actually different, but it would not invalidate the Sefer Torah. Is this every yud and every vav? And the answer is no. It's only one which is part of the nekuda, not part of the shoresh. So for instance, if it says malach in the pasuk which describes the conversation with Hagar, malach Hagar al-tira'i, this is the angel speaking to Hagar, in Parshas Lech Lecha saying, why are you afraid? Then in that case, the tira'i, which is taf yud, resh aleph yud, that tira'i, the yud is part of the root of the word, which means yira'a, fear. If it's without the yud, tira'i, then that would mean, why do you not see? And that is a different word. So therefore, the yud in that case is part of the root and is a problem. Question number four. What if two words are next to each other or two letters, like meaning to say the words are put together with next to each other without a space, or a letter was split into two letters? That's a problem, right? So if a word is converged with another word, it's a problem. If a letter is split into two, it's a problem. What if a letter was doubled by a mistake? So it's not an extra letter, it's just the same letter doubled. That's also a problem. That would invalidate the Sefer Torah. What if the paragraphing was slightly different? So it's the same words, just the paragraphing is different. A little bit of background. There are two types of paragraphs in the Torah that we usually encounter. They are called a pesucha, which means an open paragraph, and a stumma, and a closed paragraph. A pesucha, as understood by the way that we interpret our halacha, there's a difference of opinion, but this is the way we understand our halacha is. A pesucha is when the sentence ends in the middle of the line, and the next paragraph begins on the next line, as if you pressed enter. However, a satuma, which is a closed paragraph, where the sentence ends midline, say for example, and then there's a gap of eight letters before the next paragraph starts on the same line. That's as if you pressed tab twice. Then in that case, that is a stumma. If you mix up so it should be a psucha and you made a stumma, or it should be a stumma and you made a psucha, or it's missing, there's no paragraph there, that would invalidate a Sefer Torah. If you're familiar, just recently there was a whole controversy about a tikkun sofrim, which was a tikkun, a special book which was made to help the sofer write the Sefer Torah, not the one that the bar mitzvah boy uses to learn the laning. And it was really with an incredible amount of additions. It was the H tikkun, and a number of sofrim were using it. It had different colors and different enlarged letters to make it easier for the sofer to write the Torah, because it's so much focus, so much concentration. The problem was that they were using a computer program, and there was no outside check on it, and so it became a real issue, because there were some of these issues were when they realigned on the computer the certain words, it actually shifted the paragraph spacing elsewhere, and they didn't realize this. So a number of Sefer Torah were written incorrectly. This is something, if it weren't by the name of Hashem, which could be corrected, but some significant paragraph issues arose, and this invalidated a number of a significant amount of Torahs, unfortunately. Question number seven, what if one letter is touching another letter? This is a very common instance, so it depends. If it was clearly joined after the writing, so for instance, a Baal Koreh reads, but he reads and he spits, and therefore the saliva hits the parchment, sometimes they'll cause letters to smudge together, even if the smudging happened after the Sofer finished with his own ink. If you see it's a smudge, then it needs to be corrected, but it would not invalidate a Torah midway. But if it was from the time of actually writing the Torah, the Kitzur points out it also depends on where the connection was. If the connection between the two letters was mid-letter, before the letter was finished being written, so for instance, the Sofer is writing the Nun Sofis, the longer Nun, and in the middle of the Nun, he touches the leg of the Taf, which is just before it, so the letter has not been fully finished before it's touching another letter, that would invalidate it. However, if it was once the letter was already formed, so for instance, let's say it's a regular Nun, and at the very end of the Nun it touches the next letter, then the letter was formed, and therefore is not an issue to have to invalidate it mid-reading. Of course, it has to be fixed. Question number eight. What if I'm not sure if this letter is kasher? I just don't know. For instance, I look at the resh, and I'm just not sure, does the leg come down long enough to form it as the resh has really reached the bottom of the line? Remember that a Sefer Torah is written with sirtut, which means that the lines are created by indentations, small indentations that are ruled into it, and the letters are written hanging from the line. So it's unlike in regular English writing where we write on the line, a Sefer Torah is written hanging from the line. So how far down is it? Is it really enough to look like it? In this case, you call over a child and ask them to say, what do they think this letter looks like as well? Now, what happens if it's a split letter? So it's a ches that's been divided into two. Two looks like two zions or vav and a zion. That doesn't work because the child's not fixing the Torah. The child is clarifying what's called a gilui milsa, revealing whether or not intuitively this looks like the letter. If the letter's split, it's broken. It's not the letter, even if it may be guessed at as being the letter. But if it's not clear, if it went long enough, if it's big enough, that then in that case, the child can help. But won't the child be able to guess the letter, meaning out of context? Won't the child just look and say, I know what this is? So it has to be the right age of a child. If the child is too advanced, then they can understand from context. That doesn't work. That would not be the right child to use. So that's, let's say, 10, 11, 12. If the child is too young and doesn't know the letters, then obviously they can't help as well, below, let's say, the age of 6. But in that sweet spot between, let's say, 7 and 9, and that's the type of child we're using as well. And in a similar fashion, one needs to actually cover the previous letters that led up to this word, but one doesn't need to cover the following letters because just in case they're used to the pasuk and they can therefore read it from context, so one wants to just understand this letter as well. What happens if there is a hole in the parchment and it doesn't break the letter, but it goes very much up to the side of the letter, or let's say there's a rip in the parchment and that rip goes all the way to the edge of the letter but doesn't break the letter? In that case, if it's touching the letter directly, it is invalid. It's not. It's lacking something called mukaf gevil. Every letter written in black ink has to be completely surrounded by white parchment. So if there's a hole which leads right up to the black ink, then that part of the letter is not actually surrounded by the white parchment and therefore be invalid in this case as well. And be a problem of fixing it because of chak toichos, of just creating it in a situation where I make it, it sort of appear in a kosher state just by erasing it. I may have to erase the entire letter to rewrite it in such a situation. What if the stitches joining the different sections of the parchment were torn? So remember, the Torah is written on a parchment, but there is no cow in the world that's big enough to write an entire Torah on. So what happens is we take the hide of a cow. It's obviously treated and it is cut and it is smoothed, but we take multiples of those and they are sewn together. So different sections of parchment are sewn together. Many, many, many of them that are sewn together. So if, let's say, the stitches are starting to wear out and are falling apart, what is this Torah allowed to be used? So if most of the stitches remain intact in a particular join, then it is still fine. Obviously, it should be fixed because the longer you leave this, the more it's going to fall apart and could have run the risk of ripping in the middle, which is a very bad risk. However, if, let's say, most of it is torn, but there are no other Torahs available to read from, may I still read from it? So in that case, you can only read it from it if it has 5 stitches which are remaining. But let's say that there is no other Torah available and one is leaning from a different safer one. Let's say this rip that's more than even 5 stitches remaining. There's nothing really left. Can I lean from a different area in the Torah? So if it's a different safer, let's say the rip was occurring in Sefer Bereishis and I'm in Sefer Shmos for my leaning, I am able to read from it if there's at least 2 stitches there. Okay, if there's no other Torah available, there's only 2 stitches, obviously it needs to be fixed when one is able to as well. What happens if there was wax on the letter? So let's say wax dropped. So imagine that they were laying in the afternoon on a fast day and they were using a candle to read because there was no electricity and wax drops on it. So if it's on a weekday, remove the wax. If it's on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, so that's a problem because I can't just remove that wax so easily like I would on Shabbos. So it depends. If I can see the letters through it, I can still use it on a Shabbos and Yom Tov. Obviously, I should remove the wax on Motzei Shabbos. If I cannot see the letters through it, right? So now it gets worse. So I cannot see the letters through it. If it is in the place that one isn't reading from on Shabbos, then it can be used. But if it's in a place where I am supposed to be using it from, then if it's possible to remove the wax by rolling the parchment so it comes off by itself, great. If not, then one cannot read it. So it becomes a real issue if it's the place, it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it's an area that I need to be reading, I cannot see the letters through it, and I cannot roll the parchment to get it off as well. And how does one remove the wax if it's during the weekday? One can scrape it off very carefully, and one has to be particularly careful if it's on the name of Hashem, because scraping it off could, God forbid, lead to the erasing of the name of Hashem. So it needs to be melted in a way that it comes off easily rather than having to be scraped. We move to our second concept, which is the most practical aspect of our halacha today, and that is, what do I do if a mistake is actually found? So it's worthwhile noting that there's a debate in halacha between some of the greats from many hundreds of years ago as to whether or not I can read from the Torah which has got a psul, which has got an invalidation in it or not. although we paskin one cannot learn from a Torah lechatchila a priori, but post facto b'di'evet, or then I am able to rely on the reading that happened in that from that Torah. And so that means to say that learning that already happened, and then I found out that it was invalid, is still going to be considered valid laning, even though a priori now going lechachila forward, I need to pull out a sefer Torah. Let's see how this plays out in halacha. So, what happens if a mistake was discovered between the alios of the that had been read? Somebody points out and comes up and said, you know, there's a mistake, or the Baal Kori had a question, and he said, you know, there's that missing letter, that cracked letter, and he shows it to people and say, yeah, you know, in fact, that was a problem in the last aliyah. What should we do? So we bring out a new sefer Torah and we start the next aliyah. What was done was done. We pass in that bidi ever, that which was done was kosher in this case. Do we need to add aliyahs? So the truth is, one cannot add aliyahs to the Sefer Torah on any learning except for Shabbos. Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, weekday learning, you're not allowed to add aliyahs. But on Shabbos, you can add more than seven, you can subdivide it up. That's the case. So if there's a possibility, let's say a mistake was found in the second aliyah, it would be best when bringing the new Sefer Torah out in the remaining five aliyahs that are left in the parasha to divide them into seven, so that all there are seven aliyahs read from a kosher Sefer Torah, even though the first part of the parasha was technically b'di'avad kosher, but you want to have seven aliyahs from a kosher Sefer Torah. That's only on Shabbos where you can add extra aliyahs, because it will be a total of nine in that situation. What happens if I find the mistake mid-reading? This is the most common case, and it's really important to know. The Kitzur says there are different practices, so follow your practice. He says, but if you do not have a practice, I'll tell you what I think the correct practice should be. And this is the way the Kitzur paskins. It's slightly different to the Mishnah Berurah. The Kitzur says, what you do is, let's say it's in the middle of the laning, you stop, put the apostle Sefer Torah away, bring out a kosher Sefer Torah, another Sefer Torah, roll it to the right place, and then carry on reading in the kosher Sefer Torah. You do not make a new bracha. You don't make a bracha at the end of where the apostle Sefer Torah was. You don't make a new bracha on the new kosher Sefer Torah. You carry on reading like the aliyah continues. You make the end bracha after the second half of that aliyah from the kosher Sefer Torah. The first half counted b'di'evet, the second half counts lechatchila from the new Torah as well. Okay, and one of course starts at the beginning of the pasuk from where the mistake was made. So one doesn't start mid pasuk. One would start from the beginning of the invalid pasuk as well. The Mishnah Berurah does add in one proviso in the way that he explains this, in the way he puts the pin in the spectrum, and that is the Mishnah Berurah points out that this situation would not hold in the following context, in the following situation. If one is in a place where one cannot stop, so one's within two psukim of the beginning or the end of the paragraph, then one has to say a bracha and bring out a new one to conclude that, because then the one does not want to leave the new aliyah being less than two or three psukim in that new place. Now, next question. What if there are not three psukim remaining in the parasha? According to the Kitzur's way of looking at this, he says, then go back a few psukim, so that ensuring that the new reading is not less than three psukim. That would be how he avoids the Mishnah Berurah's question. What if I said the bracha on the aliyah and then saw the mistake even before reading? So I said the bracha, I see right away, I look inside, oi, there's a mistake, what should I do? So in this case, you still bring out a new one and the first bracha goes on the new Torah even though it wasn't in front of one. One does not need to say a new bracha. What if there is no new Sefer Torah to bring out? There's only one Torah. We're in a place, there's only one Torah. So in this case, you read, you finish the reading from the Torah, but you do it without the brachas, because one is allowed to, in this case, is b'di'evet, to read the rest of it without the brachas of the Sefer Torah. What if there's a mistake in the Sefer Bereishis? Can I read from a Sefer Shmos? So one must correct if there's a mistake. You're not allowed to leave a Torah which is Ena Muga, which is not corrected. But if it was not possible to have done, then one may read from the next Sefer, meaning to say the next part of the Sefer Torah, like from Bereishis to Shmos, if one was not able to fix it and it was a Shabbos or Yom Tov. However, for Shabbos Mincha, one should not lain then. One should not lain from Apostle Sefer Torah. That's not considered Shasa Dechak as much, because that was a later institution in times of Ezra, more than the initial institution on Shabbos and Yom Tov itself in the morning. With this, we conclude some of the most practical aspects of finding a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And this is the kind of thing that people need to know really on the fly, because it happens on the fly. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful